Let's grab our Bibles and head on over to 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm going to pray and we're going to get into it. Lord, we love you. We pray that you speak to us, Lord, encourage us, equip us, correct us, Lord, where we're going off track, off the rails. Give us wisdom, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We thank you for all that you got us through in 2021. Lord, we just thank you for being with us in 2022. Never forsaking us, never leaving us. Lord, we love you. We just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 30. We're going to start around verse 6. We got to remember that it's been a minute since we've been here. So let's just kind of recap before we go any farther. David has gotten to that place in his life where he's lost everything. Do you remember what happened when he came to his place where he's living, Ziklag? And he shows up to Ziklag, and the scripture told us the last time that we were checking this out is that everything burnt up. His friends, his family were taken in captivity, and David shows up to this big dumpster fire. In verse 6, it says, "Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord." That is such a huge principle that we need to remember, you guys, because there's going to be those times where we show up to a dumpster fire in our life where just things are out of whack. David at that point had lost everything. And when he shows up, the people closest to him start turning on him. And we got to remember that sometimes when we hurt, it's easy to hurt, right? What's that saying? Hurt people hurt. And they started going after David and wanting to kill David because of everything that's happened around him. And it was interesting what David did. When nobody was there to encourage him, when nobody showed up, when there was no pep talk, it said David did what? Strengthened himself in the Lord. And there's got to come a point, you guys, that if we're going to have a strong relationship in Christ, when nobody shows up, when the mentors aren't there, when the pastor doesn't give you words of encouragement, when you know, your friends don't have all the answers, there's going to have to come a point in our time where we strengthen ourselves in the Lord. And I love Vicky, she loves me, but sometimes we just can't do it. There's certain situations in our life where we have to strengthen ourselves in the Lord, and we're going to be put in positions where we have to do that. I was talking to Jesse about that, my son-in-law, on Thursday night, about how when I started ministry, how I just felt so alone, and I wish I could have had a mentor. I wish I could have had a friend that understood everything that was going on in ministry, that could give me some counsel and some wisdom. But, you know, and I have friends, and I know I can call on any one of you at any time, but we're all going through different things that we can't necessarily relate with. We can only be there for. Does that make sense? And so there's got to be times, and I told him, I said, man, there's going to be times where you're alone, and there's nobody to encourage you, equip you, and you're going to have to, like, seek the Lord in those times and strengthen yourself in the Lord. When the mentors don't come, when the answers don't happen, we still have the ability, and we need to know this. You can still find strength in God, in Jesus, in who he is, the finished work of the cross. It's all in the Lord. But we got to strengthen ourselves, and that's not always easy to do when you're going through something hard, is it? In fact, it's like one of the hardest things in the world to do to strengthen yourself in the Lord when you're going through a struggle. In fact, for me, a lot of the times what I do, I just get discouraged. And I think, man, Lord, you see everything that's going on. How am I going to strengthen myself in you when I see everything around me falling apart and everything's a mess? And the Lord says, exactly, that's the time that you've got to press in like you've never pressed in before. If you want to be strong, you've got to strengthen yourself in the Lord. Because sometimes that's the only way it's going to happen. And that's what David does. He strengthens himself in the Lord, you guys, after he gets down into Ziklag. And so God answers David, and he's gonna have David go down and fight this battle where these people had taken everything that he had, his friends and his family. And so let's check out verse 7. And so David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue the troops, and shall I overtake them? And he answered him, he says, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them without fail and recover all. So David went, and the 600 men who were with him, and they came to the brook Bezor, where those who had stayed, who were left behind, but David pursued him and 400 men, and 200 stayed behind, because they were so weary that they could not cross the brook Bezor. And so God answers David when he cries out if he should go and to attack, and will he recover? And the Lord says that he'll recover everything, and he'll recover more than what he had lost. And that was a word to David from God, a promise that everything you've lost, you're going to get more. And that would have been a hard promise to believe. But at that time, David steps out, receives the promise, and he pursues after it. Now, the interesting thing about that, you guys, is just how we can doubt God's word when it comes to recovering what we've lost. Now, that's the thing. Now, what's the enemy try to do when God gives us a promise? He tries to get us to doubt God's word. If you look in Genesis, what was the whole fall? That when Satan approached Adam and Eve, he said, listen, did God surely say that? When God gives us a promise in our lives, you guys, one of the easiest things to do, especially when we're discouraged, is that we doubt God's promises for our life. That's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to doubt everything that God says. And so David steps out and he actually pursues that promise that God gives him. And he says in verse 9, he goes after him. David went and the 600 men that were with him. And there's a section here where what David does is first he encourages himself in the Lord. Then he seeks the Lord for an answer of what's going on in his life. And then he listens to God about what to do. He pursues after him. We got to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We got to seek the Lord. And then we got to pursue a word from the Lord when he tells us. There's three things for this next year that we need to do. So important. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord, seek the Lord for answers and wisdom, and then pursue after what God has us to go after. We've got to pursue after it. David had to pursue that promise, and I know sometimes that it's easy not to go after those things, but just think about how profound, simple this is. David heard a word, and he pursued it, pursued the word of the Lord, and that's the thing, pursued it with passion. And as we've been coming to our Bible church for a while, our problem is not that we don't know the word. We need to go after what we know. We've got to pursue what we know with God, with passion, because we can add a lot of information, you guys. But unless we're actually pursuing the word of the Lord, we're not going to have victories in our life. So David pursues that word of the Lord. Now, just think about that for a second when we're talking about pursuing the word of the Lord. Ask yourself this question. Everything God has said, and it's in his word, and he's told you, what would happen if you pursued it with everything you had in your life? Don't be fearful. What if you pursued strength over anxiety, like the Lord said, faith over fear? What if we did that and we pursued the Lord with everything that we had in our life? What would life look like? How different would it be? And that's why it's so important, you guys, that we go after what God has told us to do. I think about just in marriages, and we're talking about the S word in church, submit to each other. That's like the worst word we ever want to hear in church. But I wonder if we did that. What if we did submit to each other in our marriages? Like God said, submit to one another in love. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. What would that relationship look like? Raising our kids up in the Lord in a generation, you guys, where everybody's telling you to raise those babies up contrary to the Lord. It's crazy. Just think about raising your kids up in the Lord like God says. We can't even watch cartoons anymore without homosexuality involved in it. Did you know that? This blows my mind. When I go over to Cicely and Randall's house, I can't watch all of Disney because there's like scenes where there's two male figures kissing each other. And I've got my grandbabies asking me, Papa, is that a man or a woman? Because it's transgender now in cartoons. And I'm like, man, we've got to like pursue the Lord in the way that we raise our kids up, the way we instruct them in our marriages to submit to each other, to love each other. Just think about that. What would it look like? This is it. We're like the standard of our community, and we've got to go after those things that the Lord has for us. Or, man, what kind of reputation does a church have when we're not pursuing after the things of the Lord? So David hears the word of the Lord. He goes after the word of the Lord. And now David and his men, they're going to have a breakthrough just on the past the brook Besor. And this is so important too, because we need to, as they're hearing the word of God, these guys hold back. They're at the brook Besor, and there's a breakthrough just on the other side of this brook that they're going to get involved in. So some of them cross over and some of them stay back. And there's a point there with that too, because we don't know how close we are to a breakthrough. 200 men stayed back. They were exhausted. They couldn't go. 400 men went. All they had to do was cross over a little bit farther, and then there was a breakthrough for them. David's going to engage in this enemy. They're going to win more than he ever lost, because God gave him a word about that, that whatever the enemy took, not only are you going to get it back, but you're going to get more than he ever took. And it's nice to hear David. We're like, oh, that's David. That's good news for him. But when we don't put ourselves in the story and we're like, that's David, but that doesn't have anything to do with me, that's when we miss the point. Because God's word is not just for information, but transformation, that we listen to it and we believe it and we accept it. And we're like, okay, Lord, you're a restorer of what gets wrecked. Man, I can't tell you how many times in my life I look over everything that God's brought Vicki and I and my kids through. And over, I got to remind myself of those promises God made me, because when I see my Ziklag and everything's on fire, I ask myself the question, and I tell this to my kids as well. When things seem out of control, I ask this one question: have I been here before? Have I been here before? Have I been scared before? Have I had anxiety before? Have I been fearful before? Have I been depressed before? Has my mind taken over and it's given me this crazy story in my head before? And what happened? Faithfulness, 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 faithfulness. That's why it's so important that when God gives his word, we got to say, okay, I'm going to hold on to that. I'm going to believe it. Not only am I going to hold on to it, but I'm going to pursue it and I'm going to go after it. You need to ask yourself that question. Have I been here before? Even if it was just last week, even if it was like 6 days ago, were you there then? What happened? What's God doing? And whenever we look back and answer that question, okay, I've been here before. It was just yesterday. It was 2 days ago. What did God do? He was faithful. He provided. So David and his men, they come to the brook Besor, and they're going to cross over this brook, and it's when they cross over the brook that they end up getting into this battle. And it's in that battle that David actually gets everything back the enemy took. And not only does he get everything back, but he gets more. It says 400 men went and 200 men stayed behind. And you know, if I was David, I wonder how he dealt with those 200 men. I mean, if you're the commander and you need, you know, 600 people to go and fight 6,000 people, and 200 are like, they're so exhausted. You know what David does? He gives them rest. And he says, you just need to take some time off and relax. go ahead. He doesn't say, man, you just keep pushing, keep driving, keep, you know, going after it. He says, you need to chill out and rest. And I wonder how many people need to hear that today, that you need to just stop. You need to hit the brakes. You need to rest in the Lord. You need to trust in the Lord. I mean, we can go full board all the time with our mind and thoughts and everything that's going on in our lives. But you know what? There was a lot of times where Jesus just got his disciples away, you guys, and he said, chill out and rest. Let's get away. Let's rest. Let's recover. Let's get built up. And then we go back after it. So what does David do? Like Jesus, when he gives us rest, and he's like, you can rest in me. He is the Sabbath. Rest in the Lord for everything. Rest in the Lord. And then so David, he doesn't freak out on him, but he says, go ahead, rest here, hang out in love, just like Jesus does us. And this has got to be a huge setback for David, though, only going with 400 men. But God is on his side, and he's going in the power of the Lord. In verse 11, it says, then they found an Egyptian who had fled and brought him to David, and they brought him to David. And they gave him bread, and he ate, and they let him drink water, and they gave him a piece of cake and figs and clusters and raisins. And so he ate them, and his strength came back to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drank any water for 3 days and nights. And David said to him, to whom do you belong? It's kind of cool that we see this with David, because he sees this Egyptian, and this Egyptian, you guys, was part of the band of enemies that burnt David's everything down to the ground and took his wives and his kids and everything. And what's David do to this Egyptian slave that was there that's exhausted? This guy's all skinny, looks like he's probably been eating everything from Oceania, no meat, you know, just like smoked out organic guy. And David sees him and he says, hey, let's feed him, give him something to drink. And he shows him just unconditional kindness. And I was thinking about how the Lord just shows us unconditional kindness, unconditional love. Takes us in and he feeds us and he gives us spiritual drink and he builds us up, Christ. So this guy, David sees him, encourages him, gives him something to eat. And you know what? By the way, you guys, I think that's a good point for us too, that we need to show unconditional kindness to those around us. What do you think? To the people that maybe we don't know, friends, neighbor, just to show them unconditional kindness like David does this Egyptian. And so the Egyptian, in verse 17, it says, in verse 15, and David said to him, can you take me to the troops? So he wants to know where they've come from, where they've gone, and this Egyptian's going to take him there. So the Egyptian said, swear to me by God that you'll neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you to this troop. And when they had brought him down, they were there, and they spread out all over the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of the great spoil that they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. And then David attacked from twilight to evening on the next day, and no man had escaped. So David, he goes down and he sees all these people partying with his stuff. Has anybody ever ripped you off before? Do you know what that feels like, getting ripped off, or someone taking something that belongs to you? And then you see that person and you're just like, ooh, these guys are partying. They've got the beer hats and the beach balls and they're doing the conga. And how low can you go? And David sees all of this. He's like, oh my gosh, you guys are getting wasted. I'm going to kill you. I can't wait to go down there and thrash you guys. It's interesting, while they were partying and they were doing all of these things. Hey, and by the way, thank God we woke up sober. Anybody? Anybody? Yeah, some of you guys don't remember those days. Man, I thank God that over this last week, and I was thinking about how far God's actually brought us, not having to be high or drunk or thrashed anymore. So these guys are drunk, thrashed, and high. David sees them, and they're in the season thinking they got away with it. But you know what? There's that scripture that says that sin will find you out, and whatever a man reaps, he's going to sow. And these guys, just because it's been a period of time, they think that, hey, they got away with this, and it's all good. But David looks down on him. He sees these guys partying and tearing everything up that they took from David. And David's like, man, that's my stuff. You guys are partying with all of my stuff, all of my gear. David's going to go down there and he's going to pursue him and he's going to get his stuff back. Now, the interesting thing about it is David had to go after it. And I loved what he did when he encouraged himself in the Lord. Then he sought a word from the Lord. And then he pursued the word of the Lord. But again, it goes back to this thing that we've got to pursue those things of the Lord. We've got to, the way that we think, you guys, just the way that we think, we've got to pursue the way we think, the way God wants us to think. And David could have like just made a rash decision and gone down there and been like, these guys took my stuff. They took my wives. They took my kids. They took all my iPhone, my iPad, all this stuff. But what's he do? He goes to God. A lot of us wouldn't have done that. If someone rips you off, if somebody takes your stuff, if somebody makes things hard for you at work, your first thought isn't, I need to pray about this. Your first thought is, oh, no, you didn't. I'm going to jack you up. I'm going to take you. You're going to do that to me? I'm going to go after you. And God's going to bless it. And it's right because you should have taken my stuff. But what's David do? He seeks the Lord, even though when he thought he knew what he should do, he still seeks the Lord to do it. How many times do we miss the will of God because we just assume it? When we just assume what God wants us to do and how to do it and where to go and what to do when we get there, we just say, hey, this has got to be God's will. This is what he wants. And we go after it. But David doesn't do that. He seeks God. And he says, okay, what is it? His heart is beating in time with God's heart. And I think, you guys, for us, that's a goal that we all want to have in 2022 is where our heart is beating in sync with God, that we don't run ahead of God, because it's easy to do, especially when you're stressed out and there's a lot of things going on, to just run ahead, make your decisions. This is what it is. This is what it's got to be. And I'm going to make these decisions. You guys, we got to seek God. And then he pursues the word of God. And I love what God said. God said, David, go for it, because not only are you going to get what you lost, but you're going to get more than you ever lost, which was spoil. And we got to remember that sometimes God will do that. He'll say, I've got this one 100%. This is all me. And we've all had those situations where it had to be all God. But then there's this growing phase that happens with us where he says, let's do this one together. Let's push in the same direction together. But sometimes I don't want to push, like especially when everything's falling apart. I just want God to do it all. But it's in that pushing with God and his heart beating in sync with what the Lord is telling him and to do, that now he's hearing clearly. He's going before God. And the men went from wanting to stone him to follow him. And the reason is because one thing changed, and that was he said, I'm going to stop the madness and I'm going to turn and listen to the Lord. See, before, when David was doing what he wanted to do and rolling with the enemy, his men got to a place where they couldn't trust him. But, and this is on my heart for husbands and fathers, that when it comes to our family, and I really believe this, our wives and our kids, they want to follow you. But if you're not seeking the Lord, if you're not going to God, it's going to be hard for our wives and our kids to listen to what we say, to have strength in our home as men, and we're leading them. But you get on your knees with the Lord, you start praying, you start putting God first in your life, and I guarantee you, every one of us men in here, you're going to see your wives depending, listening, and getting strength from you like never before, because now your wife, your kids, they can trust your judgment. And I wish I could say that there was times where I could just tell Vicky something and it was the law. But those times where I wasn't seeking God's face, it always blew up. Everything I would say, we should do this, we should do that. When it came to where I wasn't seeking God's face, she couldn't trust what I would say. And there was instability there. So what changed? David says, forget this running with the enemy. Forget this life. I'm done with it. He had that pivotal moment that we all have in life where something happens and we say, okay, my life is going to be different with God now because of this. And I can look back over my life and see those moments where they happen. And I'm sure you can look back over your lives and see those moments where you're like, there was a pivotal moment there. And boom, when this happened, I gave my life to the Lord and I said, enough of that. And I started going after him. And that's what David does. And that was the thing that made it to where now his men go from wanting to kill him to follow him into battle. And David leads him into battle. And in verse 20, it says, so let's start in 18. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, which should be like wife, right? But the Bible's real. It's going to tell, right? Wife. But he got his wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil, or anything that they had taken from them. David recovered all. Then David took all the flocks and the herds that they had driven before those other livestock and said, this is David's spoil. So now David came to the 200 men who had been so weary that they could not follow David, whom they had also made stay at the brook Besor. So they went out to meet David and to meet the other people who were with him. And when David came near to the people, he greeted them. And then all the wicked and worthless men and those who were with David answered and said, because they did not go with us, we will not give to them any of the spoil that we've recovered, except for every man's wife and children. And then they may lead them away and depart. But David said, my brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord's given us, what the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered us and delivered into us our hand, the troop that could not, that came against us. For who will heed you in this matter? But as his part is who goes down to the battle, so shall his part be who stays with the supplies, and they shall share alike. And so it was from that day forward that he made a statute and ordinance for Israel to this day. So as we approach the end of chapter 30, there's a section there where David and his men, they bring all that stuff back over from that fight. And there was tons of stuff. When the Bible says spoil, it means not just what they lost, but they gained everything, not what they lost, and then everything on top of it, spoil. And they've got all these guys going back into the camp, and you got these 200 guys that stayed back there. And they're like, man, praise God. You know, look at all this spoil. And they're walking by, and these guys got all these, you know, toasters and Keurigs and iPads and iPhones on their camels, and they're walking through with everybody's stuff. And, you know, some guy's looking at this stuff. He's like, man, that's my Keurig. And they're like, no, it's my Keurig now. That's my Nikes, man. That's my Cortezes. Thank God I found those. You know, those are $150. That's my Cortezes now. You didn't go, you don't get anything. You stayed behind. We fought. You weren't on the front line. You weren't out there doing it. So I'll tell you what, take your wives, take your kids and bounce, because this is all you're going to get. That's all you deserve. And what's David do? He says, forget that. The one who stayed back is going to receive just as the one who went forward. And that's important when we think about, like I think about our church, sometimes when it comes to the Lord and serving, sometimes we think it's maybe the pastor who's up front on Sundays or the worship leader or somebody who's kind of out front that, you know, gets all the honor and should get all these other things. But the reality of it is, it's the invisible parts of the church that are the most important, the ones that you don't see up front. These guys are like, they're going up front, they're in battle, they're ready to fight, and they do well. But what does David do? He says, no, that spoil, that reward, goes to everybody equally. When it comes to the Lord, you guys, every one of you were getting equal reward for the Lord from the Lord, because what we do is not better than anybody else, what anybody does. You don't have to have a mic on Sunday to contribute. It's the people who clean our church. Mac and Mel run the sound system up there. The chairs that you sit in that somebody bought. The heaters that somebody bought to put. You don't see these people, but we're blessed by them. And they do serve. And what David does is a lot like what the Lord does. The reward's the same. We're all part of a big picture coming together like a family working together. So there's no greater part than the other. I kind of think about like the brain. You need a brain, right? But you don't need a foot. I've seen people without feet. You don't need a hand. But you got to have some lungs. You got to have a kidney, liver. And it's those parts of our body that sometimes they're just not very visible. But that doesn't mean that they're not valuable. And I want to encourage you, if you feel like that, you're just like, man, you know, I really don't do anything. I don't feel like I contribute. I don't feel like I'm out front. Yeah, you are. Because if it wasn't for you, there'd be none of this. And so it's all of us working together. That's the way Jesus has got it set up. David goes out. He sees it like that. And he divides everything up for everybody equally. And so now, as we close out, worship team, come on up. We're going to close out with this. These guys are coming back with U-Hauls full of spoil. And it says in verse 25, so it was from that day forward, he made that statute and an ordinance for Israel to this day to follow. And so now when David came to Ziklag, he sent some of the spoil to the elders of Judah and to his friends, saying, here is a present for you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord to those who were at Bethel and to these others. And as we close that out, we want to remember three things for 2022 that's so important just in that verse right there. When David wins this spoil, he fights for it, he distributes it evenly. We got to remember something about that. Those people that David sent those gifts to, he was causing a lot of problems and trouble with. We saw him kind of fighting against his own people in these different territories in Judah and stuff. But now David's like, you know what? I want to bless those people. The people that may I be at odds with. Because you remember, David went with the Philistines. He was hanging with the Philistines. And like his people, they just kind of wrote him off. And he's like, I want to make it right. He didn't wait for months to go by and go, hey, when I can make this wrong right, I'll do it. I'll send stuff in a month from now. Immediately, the wrongs he made right. Immediately. And I want to encourage you guys too, and for me, that if we wrong somebody, not to drag it on, not to make it worse, not to forget about it. When I get it, I get it. When the time is right, I'll make amends. Man, God wants us to do it right now, right here. And we'll have a chance to do that with him before we take communion, to say, Lord, if I haven't forgiven somebody, if I'm at odds with somebody, let me know. Give me the strength to go to them. But here's the three things we want to remember. Number one, encourage ourselves in the Lord. Because you're going to find out that nobody's coming to do it for you. And even if they did, they can't do it like God does it. But that doesn't mean there's not encouragement. We just got to get to it. Encourage yourself in the Lord. When you're feeling depressed, pray, worship, stay in the Word, stay close to the Lord. That means getting rid of some other things in our life that come in and cloud out our relationship with God. Encourage ourselves in the Lord. Seek his word. Go to his word like David did. He says, what is God's word for this situation? I don't want to rush ahead of God. I don't want to assume things that aren't what he doesn't want. And it can be so clear sometimes, you guys, of what we just say, this is absolutely what God wants. I'm just going for it. But there's a trap in that. And David, although the answer was clear, go down and wipe those people out. They thrashed your family. He says, you know what? I want my heart to beat in sync with God. I want to go where he goes. I want to do what he does. And that means I'm going to have to hit the brakes and seek his face. And then lastly, generosity. David blessed all those people around in Judah. He made the wrongs right, and he was generous. And God wants us to be generous. And you know, the thing about it was, when David did that, he knew that it was God that provided the spoil. He knew that it was God that provided the victory. He knew it wasn't his prayer life, his tithing, his church attendance, his knowing of all the songs. He knew it wasn't that. He constantly said over and over, it's God who did this. It's God who gave us the spoil. It's God who won the victory. I had nothing to do with it. You had nothing to do with it, but he did it. And it's out of that that we are generous in to those around us. You guys, let's stand. We're going to close out in prayer and communion this morning. And Father, we lift up this time to you that 2021 was, it's a train wreck, Lord. And for a lot of us, it just felt like everything was on fire. But Lord, there's so much encouragement in your word when we turn to it and we see the wisdom of life and what to do when we don't know what to do. To encourage ourselves in you, Jesus, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that you never leave us, that you never forsake us. We can encourage ourselves in you. Have we been here before? Yes. What's happened? You've been faithful. God, if we can just remember your faithfulness through the fight, the struggle, and the pain, Lord, and encourage ourselves in you as David encouraged himself when nobody showed up, when no mentor came, when nobody had the words to say. He got alone and he made it happen anyway. Lord, give us grace and mercy and strength to encourage ourselves in you, Lord. When we're so discouraged, Lord, when everything's on fire, when life's a mess, God, that we can walk in your peace and encouragement. And Lord, that we seek your face, that we get in the word, that we just spend time with you. Church is great. Worship's wonderful. Fellowship is the best. But you know, Lord, that time alone with you in your word, seeking what's right, which way to go, how to get there, and what to do when we get there, Lord. We need your word. Father, I pray as we leave today, God, that it's on our heart to put your word first, to get it down in, to eat it, Lord, to fill up on it, to seek your face, and Lord, to be generous to those around us. To be generous, Father, with all that you've given us, because you've given us an abundance, Father, more than we could ever ask or imagine you've given, Lord. And we thank you for that. And Lord, may we honor you with all that we have, whether it's our time or our resources, our treasures, Father, our talents. May we use them for your kingdom, Lord, to be poured out on those around us, Lord, who are struggling and hurting, Father. Lord, that we encourage ourselves in you, seek your face, and have a heart of generosity, Lord. If we can just give us the grace and the mercy for that in 2022, it's going to be a good year. We love you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. And church said, amen.